You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game. The first contest is live now. Sign up at clevelandbrowns.com today. This is a lot of fun, kind of, again, monitoring your players that you draft, like the stock market. Stocks go up, stocks go down. It's cool.
Will you be in New York, do you think, for the draft?
I will. I'm planning. We're planning to do the show.
I got to tell you, I've only been there. I've been there three times.
Yeah.
When they drafted Tim Couch, Courtney Brown, and then when they drafted Joe Hayden. And I remember seeing you at the Joe Hayden.
Yes.
And it was, that's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And we're going to be set up there.
I mean, the crowd, when they line up outside Radio City Music Hall. It's amazing. I mean, they started about, what, noon?
Oh, the night before.
They'll
show up the night before.
Yeah.
Around,
and
you
how
know,
they line up. And
line
all,
up around Radio City.
And they're all wearing their jerseys.
And that's the thing. You see the, you know, you're in New York. You're thinking, okay, you're going to see a lot of Jets, Giants jerseys. You do. But
yeah,
then you'll see
right.
the Seahawks jersey. You'll see the Tampa
and
Bay jersey.
The Browns.
You'll see a lot of Browns presence.
It's a great thing. It's a lot of fun.
Huge. All right. This is a lot of fun, too. It's called After Further Review, and it's a segment that we do weekly. On this show, again, Jim Donovan sitting in for Nathan Zagura. And our producer is Jason Gibbs, and he's going to tee us up starting now.
After further review.
Afternoon, guys. Question number one. If you are the Browns and Blake Bortles and Teddy Bridgewater were the only QBs available at number four and you needed to take a QB, which one would you pick and why?
I will take Blake Bortles. I won't even blink. I think he is the most NFL quarterback-looking player of the bunch. I think he will have the best career of the bunch. He has the physical attributes to get it done. I also think he's got the acumen. I think he has what it takes. He has that it factor you've heard Mike Pettine talk about and what he's looking for in a quarterback. I think he's got all of that. He showed me a lot. Not only on tape, what he did for Central Florida, yep, there's rough edges of his game that can be, I think, cleaned up with coaching, but what he did, Jim, by throwing at the combine and then his pro day performance, and he's been just one of these all-in guys. You got to just love his attitude, and I think he, if I needed a guy and I have that opportunity, and I'll tell you, I don't think he gets, if he's there at four and you don't take him, he ain't going to be on the board much longer. He isn't there when you pick at 26.
I don't think so. Well, I know it would add spice if I disagreed, but I have to agree. I really do. I like him. I was really impressed with him when I saw him play in his bowl game. And I like the fact that he realizes he's not a ready-made guy yet.
Right.
So I think he's very open to coaching, and I like that about them. I think sometimes they come in and they feel that they're, because of where they've been picked, they are NFL-ready, and they're definitely not. So I think that he seems to have the right makeup. He's definitely got the right physical makeup, and I think he's probably the best thrower of the bunch.
And for the record, just because, you know, this is his show with me, you're filling in for him. Nathan Zagura's official vote would be, don't blink, Teddy Bridgewater, that's his guy.
Yeah.
So that would have added spice. We'd have been going back and forth. We wouldn't have gone back and forth because we well established our positions on these guys. So he's a Bridgewater guy. You're with me with the Blake camp. Megan, who are you voting? Who are you taking here? Of the two quarterbacks.
She's taking Jordan Cameron, I believe, isn't she? The way she was talking earlier in the show.
I'm just going to agree with you guys, just so we don't have to get into it. I don't want to debate over here. I'd take Bortles. I think he has the best frame and physical appearance.
And I'm telling Nathan.
Yeah.
But don't tell Nathan. If Nathan asked, I'd say Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Okay.
After further review...
Good news, I recorded it. Question number two. If you could create a new rule in the NFL, what rule would it be?
You know what I want to see, Jason? I want to see the NFL go back to letting the kicking game come back in. So I want the kickoff back in, the kickoff return back in. Okay. So in other words, I want to go back to the 30-yard line.
Move it so that you force a return.
And here's why I say that. All of us in Cleveland, we have lived on special teams here since 1999. Gardocki, Dawson, Zastadil, Cribbs, Andre Davis, Travis Benjamin. That's been the reason to buy a ticket here, unfortunately, since 1999. I think that you take the kicking game away, you're taking a third of the game away. And I think that they are erasing a lot of that.
I'm with you on that. I tend to agree that is a good place to go. The other thing I would kind of create is I want, or maybe modify, I don't like the fact that coaches have to pay a price for getting it right with replay. The fact that you challenge, that whole challenge system, I know why it's there to prevent the game again from being unnecessarily delayed. Okay. There's got to be a better way to avoid that while also not making coaches pay a price for, you know, truly, earnestly trying to figure out if a call was right or wrong. You've got the system. You've got replay. They've taken a big correct step. I love this idea of the centralized location. Mm-hmm. So maybe having it centralized and taking it out of the hands of the folks in at the game sites in some way, shape, or form could also take officiating out of the hands of coaches. Coaches shouldn't be officials, too. They got enough to do as coaches.
Yeah, because there are times that they live with a wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they live with, you know, they take the lesser of two evils. I can't challenge that. I have to save a challenge, you know, for later on in the game.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
After further review.
Question number three, gentlemen. Who is the starting quarterback for the New York Jets on opening day? Michael Vick or Geno Smith?
No, it's got to be Michael Vick. I mean, it's a 1-year, $5 million, he starts this year contract, I think.
I'm going to say Geno Smith.
Really?
Yeah, I am. I think that he finished well. And I think the game against the Browns was a big determining factor. And then he went in the next week and he played well against Miami. I'm going to say Geno Smith. I think that they may do more damage there by losing him in the wash here with Michael Vick than they would help him in his career. And I still think he, right now anyway, is the future for them.
Well, I agree with that point. I also think that Michael Vick, in saying that he'll be the starter, I didn't say how many games he'd start, because the fear of his fragility is part of why I don't necessarily buy the idea that he would be a good investment. But for 1 year and a $5 million deal, which normal human terms is a lot of money, in relative football terms for a quarterback,
it's a bargain.
Is a bargain and a half. But I think why I think he is going to have the edge is the connection he has with Marty Morningweg. Marty Morningweg got the most out of him in Philly, Jim, and I think they have a connection that will carry over to the Jets. And I think for Geno's sake, Geno just might be able to live with the idea that, hey, I can watch a little more, learn a little more. This was the guy I kind of idolized when he was playing in Atlanta. This is the guy I wanted to be like. I mean, Geno had a lot of affinity for Michael Vick when Geno was a young guy.
Now, there were a lot of points in the year last year where people said, how the heck can you continue to play Geno Smith? He's making some of the most unbelievably bad decisions, you know, aside from our guy that flipped the ball a couple of times. But, you know, he made some awful decisions throwing. But I thought that at the end of the year, he was pretty good. And I'm wondering if you stunt his growth a little bit if you put the other guy in there.
No, it's an interesting pick.
After further review.
Final question, gentlemen. Is DeSean Jackson a Philadelphia Eagle when the 2014 NFL season begins?
No way. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. There's too much smoke there. There's definitely a fire there, and there's a disconnect. And I think you have a coach now that's going to win out there. I think that team really saw, hey, this guy's pretty smart. This just isn't some college guy coming in here and, you know, shaking the pom-poms, and we're going to, you know, rah-rah. I think that there's a real football mind there. He took them a long way last year, a lot further than a lot of people thought. And I think that they buy the coach rather than this guy.
I agree, and he won't be there. There isn't a fit with Chip Kelly. The money problem is the biggest one. But I'll tell you what, he is a player. Wherever he does land, going to help a team. I mean, the right fit, he'll help a team in a big way. And that's going to do it for After Further Review. We thank Jason Gibbs, our outstanding producer, for leading us through that. Want to hear from you? Still got some time, 216-578-0850. Some tweets, @Browns_daily. A Football Tuesday edition moves on of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Jim Donovan. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.